Welcome, everyone. We're back again. Bezes Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 473. So we discussed back in 472. To recap three main points that we mentioned: the concept in Yiddishkeit and Judaism, marital relations is absolutely permissible, and unlike what we have been taught when we were younger, being intimate with one's spouse and displays of affection in the bedroom is not problematic whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. Number two is, not only is it absolutely permissible, it's actually a mitzvah in the Torah. One reason is to peruvu, to have children. And the third point is that it's a mitzvah, regardless of whether it's for procreation or not. It's a separate mitzvah of aina, aside from the mitzvah of peruvu. Now, Rabbi Aaron Cohen in Matoi V'Alocha, Alecha, brings some people believe that the sole purpose of the mitzvah of Aina is because the husband is obligated to provide a woman with pleasure when she so desires. And it's merely an obligation on the husband's part, and he has to perform his duty just simply because his wife enjoys being intimate. And that, in the surface level of it, by the way, that is pretty much the halacha, in the sense that when, besides Leil Tefillah, when it's clear to the husband that the wife desires it, he needs to provide it for her. So there's no question about it. And the Ravid, he brings down as well, that it's, the mitzvah is, ki ha'ayna shenas tu chachamim, these aynas that the chacham gave, l'malit shukas ha'ishahein. It's to fulfill the desires that the wife wants and needs. You're not allowed to diminish from that without her consent. And it's brought down that it's not for his own pleasure, and in some places it says that he should diminish his pleasure, whatever the case may be, and it's not intended for the husband to enjoy at all, and it's frowned upon. That's not the case. That's not the case. It is primarily for the woman, as we discussed, but it's not that he should just be like a bystander, and it's wrong for him to want to be involved in this process or to enjoy himself. That is not true. Now, the problem is that you have to understand that people, you try to explain that, yeah, it is a problem if you enjoy the experience as a couple, or as a husband to a wife, wife to husband. Or, you know, if the Torah stresses that it's the wife, that her pleasure is important, and the Torah doesn't explicitly talk about his, and you would think that if he wants to enjoy it as well, he's a novel b'shus ha-Torah, which the Ramban brings down in Kedoshim. It's a fascinating aside, and we just need to understand, before we go further and to explain the Ramban, it's not going on when a man wants to be with his wife. When a man desires to be with his wife sexually and he's interested in her, then yes, his focus is to provide pleasure for her, the wife, but the fact that he has that desire, and the Rabbanan actually placed obligations on a wife to work with him on this as well, that's not called being a novel versus satira. But novel versus satira is a concept the Ramban brings down, that when it says kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy, he explains there that it's a concept that technically you could be involved in permissible pleasures, but you could be a novel, you could be a despicable person, even in the confines of keeping the Torah, which is a real fascinating, fascinating concept. Because you would think you're doing Aveira, that's the problem. But if you're doing everything permissible, the Torah totally permits something. And yet the Torah is saying, according to Ramban's view in his explanation of Kedoshim Tiyu, is that you could be indulging in permissible things, and you could be a disgusting person, and you have to be careful not to be. It is a real real important yesod, by the way. It's not our topic now. But it explains a lot why religion doesn't always refine a person, why Torah doesn't always refine a person. Even though we say Torah purifies, the answer is it's still your free will. You could learn Torah, keep technically the Tarryag Mitzvahs, and still be a disgusting person if you choose to be. The Torah gives that, you know, guideline or sort of parameter there, according to the Ramban, which is fascinating. But the idea is that the fact that a husband wants and desires this and to be with his wife in a healthy way, that's not being a novel Bershus HaTaira whatsoever. It is curious, and he's going to explain later, and why did the Torah place the Aina mitzvah from the husband to the wife? Seemingly, that the woman is entitled to physical pleasure sexually more than the man is in a dynamic of that. The question is, Kedoshim Tiyu is geared both to men and to women. And, you know, so it's a very interesting question. We've mentioned before that if a woman has a desire to be intimate, the husband needs to comply. It's his mitzvah to do so. And he doesn't tell her, well, what are you so preoccupied in this? You know, put your mind off it. No. Hashem wants him to provide this pleasure for her. So it's very interesting why that's the case. And we'll talk about it in the future, as is Hashem. But the idea is also, what's also interesting about the Mitzvah Aina is it equates it with food and clothing. The Pasuk is from Parashas Mishpatim. It says, "Amacheres yikach loy." If he takes another wife, "Sheira k'susa v'inasa li'igra." You can't diminish from the simple explanation is food. "Sheira" is food. "K'susa" is clothing. "Inasa" is the intimate physical sexual relationship. The fact that it equates all three in one is really, really mind-boggling. Because food is a basic need that you can't survive without. Clothing, you could technically survive, but you really can't in a society as human beings. You can't really function without clothing. Aina, technically, you could go without. At least in theory, it's difficult, yes, but you can. But it equates all three as one. And the fact that the Torah considers a mitzvah, okay, you need to provide clothing and food, shelter for your wife, makes sense. But the Torah here is saying it's a mitzvah equally so to food and shelter to provide them their physical desire. That's very interesting. Because you see, normally, both for men and for women, we're told to not be totally immersed in physicality. We need to try to at least elevate it and to bring it up. And yet over here, it seems that the mitzvah is to satisfy the woman's physical desire. So we're going to have to work that out and how that works in the Torah perspective. And you see, the reality is not always the case. Many girls come in as a kala into marriage. They don't have an appetite for this act. They don't have a great desire for it. Some do, some may, many don't. It's usually, there's an apprehension, there's a nervousness. There's a slight excitement, perhaps, but a great desire, usually not. But there are many reasons for that, too, which we're going to get into. But the key really is to understand this concept in a Jew's life that will explain a lot of this, is that when a woman desires physically to be sexual with her husband, a Jewish woman, it may seem that it's totally physical, hormonal, purely animalistic. It is never the case with a Jew. In a human being, even with a Tzelem Elokim overall, but certainly with a Jew, there is a deep need for connection that's the source behind it. We've been influenced by foreign Hashkafic influences. A lot of it is the Christian ideology, that the way to be holy is to separate from physicality. You know, the Gemara Nida Lamed Aleph says a fascinating thing about Bilam, that Rabbi Avoh said that when it says, Mi mana afar Yaakov, Bilam was wondering, who can count the dust of Yaakov, umisperes roiv Yisrael, or count the number of intimate acts of Yisrael? It tells you from this, the Gemara says, that Hashem, this is a remarkable statement, Hashem sits and counts times that Jewish couples engage intimately, waiting for the time when a tzaddik will be born from a particular union. And Bilam was wondering and amazed by this, and because of this, he got blinded in one eye. Why? Because he said, Hashem said, Mi hu tar v'kadoshim shar satayrim k'doshim yatsis b'davar zeh. Right? Shall the one who is holy and pure and whose servants are holy and pure be looking at this? This is what Bilam said. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand why Hashem would look at these things. He always associated this physicality with total impurity, coarseness, animalistic aspects, and Hashem is counting these unions. Seems from here, not only the unions which a tzaddik actually or a child is born, but also, like the Baruch Chaim says, "Sanefesh asha asa b'charan," even unions that a child is not created, there is certain neshamas that are created, as the Zohar and other Kabbalistic works say. So Bilam didn't understand this, so he lost his vision. Some say he was blind from birth in that one eye. That's a different version of it. But Bilam basically had the theory that there's two gods or two creators. One's related to the higher spiritual matters and has no connection with the mundane and physical world, while the other one is where physicality is. So he couldn't understand how Hashem, he believed Hashem, the God of Israel, so he's holy and spiritual. So what is Hashem doing counting these physical acts and being there? It says we know this too. When there's shalom between a husband and wife, when there's the physical union between a husband and a wife, Hashem is there, the Shekhinah is there. Hashem, the Bilam can't comprehend this. So his punishment was, is he lost one part of his eye, one eye. Because one part of the intimate act he didn't understand, he lost it. Bilam only grasped the physical part. He didn't grasp the spiritual part. That's why he got blinded in one eye. Hashem does not view Aina as a merely physical act. It's an emotional connection, a soul connection between a husband and a wife that's linked to physical. And that's how it becomes one. That's how it becomes one. This is something that is very hard to wrap our heads around. And it's a big, big transition for boys and girls that are really spiritual oriented and want to do the right thing and always want to elevate themselves just higher than the norm of the society. And they have to wrap their hands around the fact that there's no contradiction. Externally, it could look like a real strong physical act of tremendous desire and so on and so forth, and pleasure physically. But underlying all this is a deep, deep emotional and spiritual connection. And Bilam could not comprehend that. He only saw intimacy with one eye, with the physical eye. He couldn't see it with both eyes, with the dual perspective of it being physical and spiritual at the same time. That's something he never understood. So this is according to the Pshat, where he, because of a punishment, he was like wondering or sort of like looking down at God, so to speak. What are you doing counting the unions between a couple? You're high, you're spiritual, you're kaddish, you're above all this. What are you so interested in such physicality? But when God brings himself down to the physical world and he created all of us, created souls. He created mothers and fathers. He created the concept of a mother and father. He created a concept of a husband and wife. He created the concept in Shir HaShirim of aligning the love of a husband and wife to coordinate with what's above, the love between Hashem and his people, in intimate acts. And Bilam couldn't comprehend that. You, such holy, you're holy beyond holy, and you're stooping down to this. What are you doing in the bedroom? What is God doing in the bedroom? That's not meant for it. The answer is it is. It's something that we need to understand as Jews. We need to understand as a couple. That's why there's a responsibility built into it, where you need to understand that healthy balance. The same Hashem that told boys and girls, separate until the point of marriage, and even after marriage with everyone else other than your wife and husband, stay pure and loyal to each other, but barring all these outside influences, is the same one that says that in marriage, in the right time, not in the neither period, is when he wants these unions to take place. And he has a nachas ruach from it. Bracha v'atzlacha.